Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word of life, the word of God. Thank you, Father, for its encouragement, for its warning, for its clarity, for its love. We thank you, Lord, that the word of God is truth. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning, as we look into your word, we may find grace to help in time of need. We may find encouragement, and we may find help from heaven. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title this morning is God is on the Throne, which is very good. And this is one of those funny weeks, isn't it, of the year when we don't know whether what's up and what's down, don't hardly know what day of the week it is. After Christmas, I had to tell Caroline yesterday, remind me to go to church tomorrow. The rhythms all get mixed up this time of year because everything's mixed up. You don't know what day the bins are going out. You don't know what day the shops are open. You don't know, you hardly know right from left during this week. But that's why I wanted to just remind us and bring this reminder really from God's word as we close a year, and as we close even a decade, it's important that as we've been considering the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas season, which we remember that the first Advent, that we don't forget the second Advent, and we remember that Jesus is coming again, and we're living in these last days, and the New Testament, even from the earliest days of the New Testament, has described the period in which we find ourselves now as the last days. We are living in the last days. And that is the truth before the second Advent. And it's easy for us to perhaps look at those who missed the first Advent and look at them with down our noses, thinking, how on earth did you miss Jesus Christ coming on the first Advent? But we don't want to be caught in the same predicament ourselves as those who miss or potentially don't see the signs that he is coming again. And to remind ourselves that even though we live in a dark world, that actually God is still on the throne. And it's important for us to remember that we're part of this great story of salvation, of redemption, which started with the creation and then with the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, and then the giving of the law and the covenants, the various covenants of the Old Testament, even beginning with Noah and Abraham as well, before the law of Moses, and all the story of God's redemption, of bringing his people Israel out of bondage in Egypt and bringing them into the land that he called them to live in, the promised land, and how God always longed that his people would be a light to the nations, and that sadly the people of Israel so often stiffened their rejection and their resistance to the Lord, and he had to send them prophets and kings and rulers who would seek to bring them back, but yet they were constantly wayward. And then there was that 400 years of silence before the first Advent. And then Jesus came, and then he died and rose again and ascended into heaven, as we've just declared in our creed. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the earth at Pentecost. And that's now the age in which we live, picture into his story of the world and in which we find ourselves. And it's good to remind ourselves today in John, and if he goes and prepares a place for us, he will come back and take us to be with himself once again. And we're also reminded in Mark 13 that we don't know the day or the hour when Jesus will return, that only he knows that. And the second coming is actually mentioned even more than the first Advent in the New Testament. It's mentioned more times than the Christmas story. And so today we want to just reflect on these things and be mindful and be thinking as we digest our turkey and everything else that goes along with it. But be mindful that God is on the throne, that we're part of a much bigger story than just the Christmas story. It's part of God's eternal plan of redemption. And redemption means freedom. It means to be bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. This has been quite a year, hasn't it? As the Queen described it in her speech, a bumpy year in lots of different ways, I'm sure, for different people. And it's good for us to be reminded that God is on the throne, especially in a world where we have living in such a time of political upheaval. 2020 is not going to end that. There's going to be continued upheaval, not just in our own nation, but around the nations. There's a climate crisis that we face at the moment. There is terrorism. There's shifting ethical attitudes and values. There's injustices that are on such a vast scale that the mind boggles. There's violence on the streets, and we've even seen it on our own streets. There is hatred and such division and such spite and such abuse in our world today. And this is the world in which we live, and in the world in which we need to be reminded God is still on the throne. And we have it here in Revelation 21. Eight verses. These are eight verses that give us that perspective that we need to go into a new decade, a new year, reminded that God is God. And the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." And we want to remember that. And so just eight very brief reflections today from these eight verses, eight words of encouragement to us as we approach a new year and a new decade. In verse 1 it says there, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." And the word that springs to my mind there is the word eternity, because we want to be mindful of the perspective of eternity. This is this world, and this time is not all there is. God is going to bring this world to an end. And it says here in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." We serve a God who is the God of eternity, and we want to live for eternity, not just for time. One day you and I will see the new heaven and the new earth. And this earth will be wrapped up like a scroll, as it says in the scriptures. Time is not all there is. Many people are just living for this life, but we are called to live for eternity. And to be reminded that there is eternity to live for is a good perspective that we want to live our lives through, the lens of eternity, the lens of Jesus lived in this world. He said, "Lay up treasures for yourself, not in this world, but for eternity, where moth and rust cannot destroy." And so, friends, let's remember this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Our life is like a vapor. It's like the steam rising out of the kettle. The Lord gives us 70 years or plus, then our life is here and gone. And we are in this great story of eternity. God is God from eternity past into eternity future. And this world is going to end one day, and Jesus is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. So that's the first word, eternity. That's the perspective, the eternal perspective. He says, then in verse 2, "I saw a new holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Now, the word that sprang to me from that description was actually the word beauty. Beauty. There's so much in our world today that's ugly. There's so much that is violent. There's so much that's distorted from the truth. And the Bible says that the God sees that holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And the language there in the New Testament, the language of the bride and the bridegroom is always the language of the church, the people of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom and we are the bride. The bride of Christ is the church. And God sees us as beautiful. God sees, and we want to live from that perspective. Lord, I want to live a life, a beautiful life for you. Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to follow Jesus. That is the beautiful life. And we want to be those people who would be the bride of Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We are the bride of Christ, and we want to be a beautiful bride, dressed for our husband, dressed for our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us, and it's a real encouragement as we consider how God sees us, his people. God sees us as beautiful, and we want to live in that light, that we are the beautiful bride of Christ, living in this time of eternity. Verse 3 says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And the word I got from that was just the word hope, that God is with us. Isn't it wonderful that we heard that there's a loud voice from the throne saying that God is with us? The dwelling place of God is now among his people. He will dwell with them. That's wonderful. In our lost, broken, hurting world, to know that the dwelling place of God is with us. God has not abandoned us. God has not forgotten us. His dwelling place is with us. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the message from Colossians, which says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That God dwells in us by the Holy Spirit, whom we are sealed with until we go to be with the Lord. And the dwelling place of God is with them. The veil of the temple was torn in two at Calvary. And now God, Emmanuel, is with us. He is here with us, his people. And that he will be with them and we will be his people and he will be our into a new year. And go into a new decade to remind ourselves the dwelling place of God is with us by the Holy Spirit. It says there, and then in verse 4, it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And the word I've got there is the word comfort. And we want to have that perspective, the comfort of God. Yes, there may be tears in this life. There may be crying. There may be pain. There may be mourning. But this life is not all there is. A day is coming of comfort. A day when he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That is good news. That is good news for us, and that's a perspective we never want to lose. We don't only think about what's happening in this world, but remembering that God is bringing about a kingdom. And one day, it's not yet, but one day there will be no more tears, no more death, no more the old order of things, crying, pain, mourning. These things will be a memory. These things will just be in the past. Because heaven, he's making everything new. And heaven is real. And eternity is real. And the comfort of God is real. And it's a wonderful thing. And for a Christian, this is why we have such hope. And this is why even when we go to a funeral of someone who's passed away, who knew the Lord, even though we mourn their passing and we cry and we grieve their passing, yet we can also celebrate, because that's another reminder to us that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that a day is coming when we will be reunited with all those who went before us who knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And this day there'll be no tears or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And that is coming which is a tremendous comfort to every believer. In verse 5, we're just working through these words of encouragement as we face a new year, a new decade, eternal perspective that we want to keep. It says there in verse 5, "He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And what I love about this, and the word that springs to my mind here, is the word sovereignty. Because these are words that came from the throne. And God says at the second advent of Jesus Christ, when this world comes to an end, and when Jesus returns, he's going to make everything new. Praise God. That is the sovereign power of God. And the Lord our God is the sovereign Lord. He is the sovereign Lord. There is no other name higher than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a word of sovereignty. God is on the throne and he's making everything new. Praise God. Even though we live in a difficult world, that is such a message of hope that we can hold on to. And then in verse 6, he says, he said to me, "It is done." Does anybody remember where else the Bible uses such language? It was from the cross. "It is finished." It says from the throne, then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." And the word that reminds me of is Calvary. Because even there, with that declaration from the throne, from the sovereign Lord, "It is done," it reminds us of those words spoken by Jesus: "It is finished. It is accomplished. The victory is the Lord's." And we can live our lives here on earth now, knowing that it is done, knowing that Christ has done all that is needed, that it is enough, that there is more than enough done on our behalf, that we might be reconciled to God, and that the Lord our God is the sovereign Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And God always finishes what he has started. And it's a great thing. "To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." And that speaks to me of salvation. That's why this word is a word of Calvary. It's like there's echoes there of the woman at the well, isn't there? When Jesus spoke to her in John 4, saying, when she said, "You know, give me some of this water." And Jesus says, "I have other water that you don't know anything about." And this water of life, it's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of God giving us salvation through the cross. It is done. We can be satisfied completely in Christ. That's the message here. And that's the message we want to keep hold of as we go into a new year and a new decade. Salvation has been done for us upon the cross, and we can be fully satisfied in him through Calvary. Number 7, verse 7. "Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." That's a beautiful verse of scripture. And the word that springs to mind there is the word family. Family. "I will be their God, and they will be my children." And again, we see the tender heart of God towards us, his people. That through Christ, we can be victorious. And through Christ, we can become the children of God. And that's what we had there in the Galatians passage that we had read by Pauline. About Abba Father, the spirit of adoption, whereby we become children of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross for us. And that's the perspective that God wants us to have. And it's the perspective right at the end of Scripture that the people of God are reminded of, that we are his children. Those who are victorious, and the only way to be victorious is through Christ, will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. That should bring comfort and hope and strengthening and blessing into the heart of every single believer. Even though we face a terrible world that we live in, this is what is true. And the last verse, and this is a disturbing verse of scripture, but there are many verses that are like this. It says then, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And the word that comes to mind there, and this is even in that scripture, there's an encouragement, I believe, and it's the word justice. The judge of all the earth will do right. And even though we see many things in our world that are wrong, many things in our world that are evil, many things in our world that seem to go, it seems like the wicked go unpunished, but actually the Bible reminds us that our God is a God of justice. And there's a day coming when the justice will be done throughout all creation. Everybody must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be judged. The books will be opened, the Bible reminds us. And there will be a day of judgment to come. And that our God is a just judge of all the earth. And we praise God that on that day of judgment, when he comes and the day of judgment, when anyone who appears on that day who knows the Lord, their record is clean because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus gives us his righteousness and he takes our sin and our sorrow and he gives us his righteousness. God looks at us just as he looks at Jesus through the right. Don't come under condemnation. But there will be those on that last day who will come under that condemnation, who will experience the lake, fiery lake of burning sulfur and the second death. And I believe it. I believe that what the scripture tells us about the judgment to come and about heaven and about hell. I believe it all. I believe it's absolutely true. And that's why I believe that for any of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we should rejoice that wickedness will be punished. Because that's the character of the holiness and justice of God. It's all part of his love, his justice. But also we can know that we don't have to fear that day when we're in Christ, if we're in Christ, because the Passover, God's judgment will pass over us through Jesus Christ and all he's done for us. And so, friends, as I close, I want us to be encouraged, as Hebrews 12 reminds us, looking unto Jesus. All these words that we've had, to the perspective of living for eternity, of living in the beauty of how God sees us, of living in the hope that God is with us, in the comfort that this world is not all there is, in the sovereignty, in the knowledge of the sovereignty of God, that he is on the throne and is making everything new, in the knowledge of the Calvary, that it is done and salvation has been accomplished for us, and we, because of that, are his family. And even in the midst of all the judgment on that last day of that second advent, that the justice will be done, that everything will be made right and new, that we today would recommit ourselves to Christ, and that we today would look unto Jesus for 2020 and for any time that the Lord gives us in the future by his grace. And that's my prayer, is that we can be encouraged and we can be given that heavenly perspective as we go into this coming year. And may God bless us. Amen.